And so one of the things that I would like to talk about is that the benefit of forgiveness. My sermon topic is don't leave Jesus out. Don't leave Jesus out. You know, we have so many different fractions of Christianity and religion, and all claiming to be the right, the answer that we need for today. And I want to tell you that I was looking at a YouTube, and it was about Rosa Parks was speaking. And one of the things that I listened to and I heard that resounded with me was she has said that she wasn't bitter and that she wasn't angry. And I thought about that for a moment, and I think about what I hear people say, or young people saying today, bitter about slavery, angry about what's happening now and what happened in the past, and it's just anger and bitterness. And it just struck me that the person that went through it talked about not being bitter. And it also reminded me of a sermon that I heard Dr. King preach. And he was preaching the funerals of the four black girls in Alabama that was killed, murdered in a church. And during that period in time, he was talking about forgiving our sick white brothers. And I want to say that now, in this period of time, where so many people in the world today are looking at all the things that are going on and saying, we need to do something about this, or God needs to do something about this. And one of the things that I have come to understand is that Jesus has already done something about it. One of the things that we need to come to understand is what Rosa Parks understood, is that she had to forgive those people to be free from what she had experienced. And I'm so glad that Pastor Brooks preached his last sermon series of what forgiveness is not. And if I remember correctly, forgiveness is not accepting what's happened to you. Forgiveness is not being a doormat. And so we're not talking about forgetting that these things never ever happened, but we're talking about don't go back and dig it back up. Matthew 7 and 12 says, therefore, all things whosoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye often even so to them. For this is the law of the prophets. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, disturbing the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute them. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that rejoice. After the 381-day Montgomery bus boycott, which concluded in December 1956, Rosa Parks maintained a perspective focused on forward movement, forgiveness, and dignity rather than bitterness. Despite facing continued harassment, job loss, and economic hardship in Alabama, her refusal to be bitter In various interviews and writings, including Reflections by Rosa Parks, she emphasized that she needs to move beyond hate and to focus on the positive goal of freedom. She stated, "It is better to teach or live equally with love than to love, than to have hatred and prejudice." And so what I want to talk to you about today is not so much as the physical freedom, but I'm going to talk to you about the spiritual freedom. All right. And being free from spiritual darkness. And like Rosa Parks knew that if she would continue in bitterness and hatred, she would still be a slave to that which she was fighting against. And so by having forgiveness, she was free from that whole situation to live her life as she pleased. There's a great benefit to forgiveness. As a young man, my father was a mechanic. He had his own business, his own garage, and so he taught us a lot about working on cars. And so when it came down to mechanics, I scored high. I always scored high on tests and things of that nature. And when I went into the military, I was offered an opportunity to be an aircraft mechanic, but I wound up being a tank mechanic. And this area of mechanics is on a higher level than just regular mechanics. And so I wound up being stationed in Germany, and I was rooming with all white roommates. And I experienced racism at that time that I had never lived with anybody white to begin with. And so the idea that what racism was, I had never been confronted with. But the situation was, when things came up stolen, they blamed me. I had to hear all their ideas of what black people was and what we did and how we were living off the government, though I didn't know nobody that was in that situation, and though I wasn't in that situation. But I had to deal with racism. And not only that, but because I was stationed in rooming with all these whites, I didn't necessarily get along with the black soldiers either, because they felt that I was a sellout or whatever. I wasn't one of them because I was put in with the white soldiers. Anyway, I left that situation with a lot of bitterness and a lot of anger. And then what I want to tell you about is that while I was in the VA hospital, one of the nurses there, an older black lady, had witnessed to me and invited me to her church. And she had, while going through what I was going through, she gave me a Bible and told me to read the story of Job. And I was also befriended later by some white friends. And while I was not an actual member of a church, invited me to come to their church. And this is something that got me back into church for good. But I always just said that how I had the bitterness also toward the black soldiers that I did with the whites. And so this is just how God worked it out for me. And what I want to tell you about is forgiving. So even though that situation was behind me, I still was living my life as if I was in that anger, in that bitterness. And so I was enslaved to the anger of the past. This portion of scripture has really been a blessing to me, and I'd like to share it with you and share how it brought me from thus far. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13:1-13 read, "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I have become a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have not all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I have nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in truth. Beareth all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Charity never fail, but whether there is prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there are tongues, they shall cease. Whether there is knowledge, it shall vanish. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when we, but that which is perfect is come, then that which is shall be, in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now that we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. And abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these things are charity. And that translates love. Charity translates as love. Right. To forgive don't only mean you forgot, it made make up a doormat. Don't make us a doormat. To forgive does not make us a doormat, right, or means that it means that you're mature. The 11th verse says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so one of the things that we want to understand is that to forgive people doesn't mean that you like what how they treated you. It don't mean that that you approve of what happened or that you accept it. But it means that you're no longer a child and you begin to handle things in a more adult way. By forgiving, it sets you free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And I just want to share something that I understand from our history with Dr. Martin Luther King and with Rosa Parks and with all the other people that fought for our freedom and that have continued to fight for our freedom. If we're not spiritually free, we're not free at all anyway.
Right.
It starts. It starts with knowing that who the Son has set free is free indeed.
Yeah, right.
And we start giving up the childish things. You know, I think that is sad that when I come to when I look at the church today and all the fraction that goes on between the same faith and the same churches and the same religion over titles, over doctrine. It's one church, one doctrine, one Lord. But there are so many subjects going on. We have all of these new churches that's coming up today with these different beliefs. The Black Hebrews, and we've always had the Jehovah's Witnesses. We have all of these different fracturing beliefs that are claiming to be what we need. And one of the things I've seen that they all have in common is they fail to include Jesus Christ. There's a church, Church of Scientology. And even though they take the Bible, when it's all said and done, they leave Jesus out. with all the people who proclaim it in politics today that are saying that they are godly and they're doing this in the name of God, the resurrectionists, insurrectionists that charged the Capitol was carrying Bibles and waving flags and doing all in the name of country and God. And for all of those politicians that are involved with this this attack on the country, deploying these, I don't even want to call them law enforcement, because you have to follow the law to enforce the law. You can't just be breaking the law and say that you're part of law enforcement, wearing masks and all that stuff. But if Christ is not in it, then your religion is false.
Right.
Forgiveness is learning how to love your enemy and casting out hatred from your heart. Unforgiveness is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die.
Right.
Forgiveness will open up to your eyes to possibilities that you never even dreamed of. We have come a long way. But like Pastor Brooks says, when you have forgiven, don't dig it back up. A lot of what we do today, or we see happening today with our leaders today, is they keep digging the past up and keep digging the past up. The problem is that people claiming to be Christians and being cruel to others, they just left Jesus out. They behave like they don't know Jesus. Their speech is cruel. They have no compassion. They govern by taking away from the least among us. In Jesus' words, he says that, "Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when have I saw thee hungered and fed thee not, or thirsty and gave thee not drink? When saw we thee stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when shall we say we saw the sick or the prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer them and say, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as that ye have done it unto the least, these brethren you have done unto me." So for all of these people that's claiming to be doing all the things that they are doing in the name of God, we know that God has already pronounced judgment on them.
Right.
He's already said that, "Go away from me, you workers of iniquity."
Yeah. Right.
And so what we have to do basically is forgive them in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to look at ourselves and cleanse our hearts. And we have to see what God's message is to us beyond what's happening before our eyes. 1 Peter 13, "But rejoice in so much as ye are partakers in Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you shall also be exceedingly joy.
Yeah.
Light dispel darkness. In the same way, love drives out anger, hate, and bitterness. Love is the greatest weapon."
Yeah.
The Bible says that a man named Jesus died on a Roman cross,
right,
because he loved God's creation.
Yeah.
And because he loved, he came to redeem man and came for whosoever,
mm-hmm,
that would believe upon him.
Right.
That's above every a name that's above every name,
right,
call upon him shall be saved.
Right.
And so when we see all these divisions and these splitting of races and tongues and churches, what God has called unto himself, so he said it in the book of Peter. It says, I wish people would stop creating division in churches. Peter said, "But ye are a chosen generation,
right,
a royal priesthood,
uh-huh,
a holy nation,
yes,
a peculiar people,
uh-huh,
that ye should show forth praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light, which in times of past were not a people. We're not a people. The Jews and the Gentiles were not a people. The Gentiles were a people and the Jews were a people.
Right.
And now God has chosen those from among the Gentiles and those from among the Gentiles to be a people that he has called out of the darkness and into the marvelous light, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And so we know that the Lord himself has said that he would call from all men, from every tribe, people into his kingdom.
Right, right.
And so nobody can lay claim on God.
Right.
But he says that you did not choose me, but it's I who have chose you.
Right.
And I commanded my love toward you while you were yet in sin.
Right.
And so 1 Corinthians 9 and 19, for though I be free from all men, have I made myself servant unto you, that I may gain more. This is Apostle Paul speaking, 1 Corinthians 9 and 20. And unto Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain Jews. To them that were under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that's under the law. To them they're without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ. But I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I weak, that I may gain strength, I am made all these to all men, that I might by all means be saved. As this do the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And so what I want to say to you today is that let us not become like them. And this whole thing about forgiving and loving one another is the biggest battle, is not to become as they are, but as the Lord is. And what I want to put before protesting and arguing about our rights and all the things that's going on here in this world, we first need to be saved.
Yes.
We first need to be free from this world, the hatred and bigotry and all the things of the world,
right,
not conforming to the world,
right,
but be transformed. And that we need to not to make a racial issue out of things of our belief, but to make a holy issue out of it.
Right.
That those that have accepted Christ, that believe in Christ, we can accept them as our brother. And that we all, coming under Christ, that we would submit ourselves to Christ, then and only then are things going to be made better. But I say this to you to say, don't put your hope in men. Don't put your hope in this government. I don't care what they promise. Don't put your hope in the world. It's good for us to participate and to vote our conscience. It's good for us to persuade people to our way of believing, but that's not where our trust should be.
Right.
And that's certainly not where our hope should be.
Right.
Because what our trust should be is, I want to tell you, there's a scripture. It is in the 12th chapter of Hebrews,
right,
in the first verse, where it says to me, and it says to us, when I was going through the situation with all the hatred and the bitterness, I read this verse. It says, ye have yet to suffer unto the shedding of blood. And so before we can say that Christ don't understand, or before we can say that I've been hurt so bad that I have a right to hate everybody, you have not suffered unto the shedding of blood.
Right.
And what he mean by that is that he was drugged from judgment hall to judgment hall. He was taken before Pilate. He was taken before Caiaphas, and he was taken before Herod. And they sent him back to Herod.
Yeah.
And Herod examined this man and said, "In this man I have found no fault. I find no fault in him." He said, "What should I do with this man?" And the Jews crucified. The Jews cried out, "Crucify him!" Not wanting to be guilty of the blood of an innocent man, he had Jesus scourged,
right,
hoping that they would find sympathy for him. And they did not. And he cried out, "I have a right to release one prisoner. I can release for you Jesus, or I can release for you this murderer, Barnabas, the one that was leading an insurrection. This is an insurrection against Rome. He's going to release him rather than to release Jesus," which tells me something about mankind. All have sinned and been found short the glory of God. Mankind cried out for Barabbas, the murderer, the insurrectionist. And you see the president that everybody voted for. Voted for, wanting to get away with our deeds that we do in darkness, rather than having somebody that might come and do something good. And we have to straighten up ourselves. The thing that I want to say to you is that Jesus was made to carry his own cross to a hill called Golgotha, where he was nailed to a cross, and he was hung on that cross, and he hung there, and between two thieves, one that says, "If you be the Christ, why don't you save yourself, and while you're at it, save us too." And the other one said, "This man has done nothing. We deserve what we got, but he doesn't deserve this." And so they crucified him, hanging on the cross between two thieves. And the cross was the most humiliated death that they could think of. Roman citizens weren't even allowed to be crucified. And so Jesus gave up the ghost, and he died. And they pierced him in the side, and the blood came streaming down. They took him down and laid him in a borrowed tomb, where he stayed there. But on the third day, he rose with all power in his hand. But one of the things that happened on that cross while they were beating him and scourging him and gambling, he said, "Lord, forgive them, before they know not what they do." And here today on this Black History Month, I just want to say to you, to all the people that have done us wrong and had done so many things to hold us back, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen.